Our next case is N. Ray Edward Tobinick. Mr. Hall, and I pronounced your name correctly?
Yes, you did, Your Honor.
You have 15 minutes, and I guess there's no rebuttal here, so it's 15 minutes.
Well, I'd like to talk about two topics, the first one being that Olmarca did not possess the invention claimed in the interference at the time that its PCT application was filed, and then if I may reserve 5 minutes to speak about a second topic, which is the problem that Olmarca had the day the Patent Office declared two different interferences, one in which it was the junior party against Lee, and one in which it was the senior party. I'd like to define some terms just to get us started. The claims use the term nerve condition mediated by nucleus pulposus. Nucleus pulposus is a cellular material that comes out of a herniated disc, and it impinges on surrounding nerve tissue and causes pain. By two mechanisms. One is simple pressure, and the other is that it releases a protein called TNF, which hurts somewhat like the way hot sauce hurts, but it also causes inflammation. And the immune system reacts to inflammation. Cellular leukocytes will find that area, and they will get involved releasing cytokines, including more TNF. And I'd just like to also point out in the record that the term mediate is defined on page A4746. So just to state it simply, this invention is about treatment of back pain by localized application of an antibody that binds TNF. My brief talks about Olmarca's Series 2 experiments in which he took an antibody, mixed it with nucleus pulposus, and put it on the exposed nerves of a pig. This was a model for epidural treatment. That paper, it's called Olmarca 1998, and those experiments ended up in the priority documents and in the PCT application. The Series 2 experiments failed, and there's a lot of material in the PCT saying so and drawing conclusions. And what I just want to explain what they were trying to get at in that paper. They no one had reached the conclusion yet that TNF is the only bad actor. There were other cytokines. And no one had reached the conclusion that local treatment works at all. Systemic, of course, is preferred for most medical treatments. So what Olmarca 1998...
So the board found that the descriptions of the Series 2 results show that the inventors understood the therapeutic value or the therapeutic potential. You're arguing that they did not.
Explain
why the board erred in that determination.
Well, the board erred by reading the conclusion sentence of that paper as broadly encompassing all of the different molecules that they had used, the doxycycline broad-spectrum inhibitors of all cytokines, and the antibody. But when you actually read it with understanding, you can see that they're really saying only the broad-spectrum, the doxycycline, is what worked. And the others do not work. That's why they said inhibiting TNF and related substances. What they mean is cytokines. And we have expert testimony from Dr. Weinberger, from Dr. Richardson, from Dr. Clark, saying that's exactly what this means to a person.
Was there contrary expert testimony on that point?
The other side, well, the board relied on Dr. Anderson, who we complained was not being fair, not being truthful. And then they said, well, even if Dr. Anderson's testimony isn't accurate or reliable, we can read it for ourselves. And so they read that for themselves. But if I could just point out that a subsequent paper by Olmarker and Aoki, and it's in the record at 2845, I quoted in the brief, it was not possible to draw any conclusion regarding which of these cytokines might be directly involved. That's talking about the Olmarker 1998 and the Series 2.
This is a factual issue, right?
Sorry?
It's a factual question.
Yeah.
And so the question is whether there's substantial evidence to support the board's finding, right?
I think there is not, because they interpreted it for themselves. And they discounted our expert testimony by saying that they found a contradiction between two of the experts, and therefore they didn't need to listen to Dr. Weinberger. But when you look at the contradiction they point to, there's no contradiction, and I discussed that in the brief. They're talking about two totally different things.
And now, if we disagree with you about your argument with respect to Dr. Anderson's testimony and find that the board did not err by considering that evidence, then is there substantial evidence to support the board's finding?
It's wrong. It's just flat wrong. And if you look at
the question, is there substantial evidence?
I would say no. It's so wrong that and if you look at Dr. Anderson's treatment of that area, he uses ellipses. He puts words in that actually aren't there, and he's just changing the meaning. The first time this case was on appeal, it was a very similar situation where Dr. Anderson was changing the meaning of the written record, and this court found there was no substantial evidence. This time, you know, we have the same situation. And if I could just point to some of the statements in the PCT application which show that the Series 2 didn't work. On page A2699, talking about possibilities for how do you treat back pain, one may therefore also consider the possibility of a selective blocker of TNF may not be sufficient to completely block the nucleus precocious induced effects, and that simultaneous block of other synergistic substances is necessary as well. They had not come to the conclusion that that TNF alone was the important thing to block. And it's also important to realize that even if you have decided it's TNF, you still have to know whether it's the local TNF coming from nucleus pulposus that is causing all the pain, or is that attracting immune cells from the blood, and which has more TNF. And that's what they say in the PCT in the next paragraph. The third explanation could be that the amount of TNF in the nucleus pulposus may well be enough to start the cascade locally in the nerve root, causing then aggregation and recruitment of systemic leukocytes. However, it is these leukocytes that have the major content of TNF, and that systemic treatment in a sufficient dose is necessary to block the contribution from these leukocytes and thereby also blocking the events leading to nerve injury. So,
what about the disclosure at A2698 where it says the lack of effects in certain animals could be based simply on the amount of antibodies in relation to the TNF monomer?
That's right. They didn't have a solution. They didn't have a result. They are speculating about what might have gone wrong. And so there was, it could not be verified experimentally, and they're thinking about what could be done, what could explain it. But ultimately, you can see in the PCT, they never answered that question, and they're still wondering whether it's TNF or the other cytokines and whether it needs to be systemic treatment to block. Like I said, necessary, sufficient dose. Systemic treatment and sufficient necessary. So he did the experiment He got a result that misled him and left him thinking that something else mattered. And you can see that in the initial claims. Then they, by the time the PCT entered the national stage, they saw Dr. Tobinick's patent application, saw what he was doing with local administration of TNF inhibitors, and said, well, I did that experiment, that series 2, so I should get that invention. But the series 2 didn't work. He didn't say it worked. He didn't think it worked. He did many, Olmarker did many experiments later. They were all systemic. Never repeated this. It was basically abandoned until they saw Tobinick's claims. Then they got that patent allowed, and then Tobinick copied those claims to get into this interference.
You didn't mention that you were going to address the issues you raised with respect to inequitable conduct.
Yes.
Are you taking those back? Are you conceding?
No. I'd like to discuss that.
Seems to me that what you point to as inequitable conduct is just they're just mere differences of opinion.
Well, what Dr. Cohen said.
Can I ask just procedurally? You filed a motion for permission to put on an inequitable conduct case.
That's correct. You have to.
I don't. Just tell me is. Have you essentially submitted the case you would make in support of inequitable conduct along
evidence,
with the motion?
Not the evidence itself. It was an outline of what the evidence would show and what the arguments are. So, so I have declarations by two experts using the word perjury in this context, but those have not been made of record yet.
And if the board was right about obviousness and validity of your patent claims, why is it necessary to reach this question?
Well,
I understand you contest the premise. I'm trying to. You presented a lot of issues, and part of the challenge, at least for me here, has been to understand what the logical relationship among the various issues is, or whether one like that one I mentioned might be dispositive if it went against you.
Well, the issue of who invented first is really what I was talking about with Series 2. I want to show that on the merits, Tobinick should win. And secondly,
why does it matter if your claim's invalid?
The claims would be valid if PCT were properly interpreted and Series 2 was understood to be a failure that did not give them possession of the invention. In other words, their local claims would be new matter, and Tobinick would win. So. The inequitable conduct issue also goes to the reliability of Anderson in this case, not just Cohen, because they both said the same ridiculous thing.
If we find that the board was correct in its determination concerning inventorship, does the rest of your case fall?
I don't understand your use of the term invent. Oh, you mean who was first to invent?
Correct.
Please repeat.
Does your case fall
if
we say that the board was correct? If we find that the board was, we affirm on that issue.
On the merits, yes.
Okay.
Do you know why Olmarker is not here today?
I think that they are worried that you would ask them questions like, well, why isn't the Lee application prior art, prima facie prior art, and how would you distinguish it? Because it shows TNF inhibitors treating CNS conditions, which means spinal cord conditions, systemically. And one thing to understand about Olmarker's position in the beginning of all this is that even though Tobinick has only local treatment with TNF, Olmarker has systemic claims using nonspecific inhibitors as well as local claims that they basically copied from seeing Tobinick. So
it's not as if something has been settled or anything like that?
No.
Why they wouldn't participate in the appeal at all?
No, that's right. They withdrew because they're in an untenable position, at least that's my supposition. that, you know, I mean, basically the way their patents still exist, their patents would have been canceled already, but for the fact that Dr. Cohen said essentially the nucleus pulposus does not mediate any pathologies or conditions of the spinal cord. And that's absurd. And they were trying to preserve their systemic claims for treating nucleus pulposus mediated conditions. And their claim, they were basically what they were trying to do was conceptually add a limitation to the claim such that the nucleus pulposus would only affect the peripheral nervous system, which would be the nerve roots coming out.
So here the other side didn't show up.
Yeah.
No briefs, they're not here today. How should we treat that? And what's the legal basis for your answer?
I think it should be treated as an unopposed, my brief should be treated as an unopposed brief. I can't.
And what's the legal basis for that? I mean, we don't have a default type provision in our rules.
You know, the solicitor was invited to join, and he did not intervene without explanation. I think, although I can say I was talking to people about what happens in situations like this and what does it mean, and it means that they felt the board had a say. The board had their say, and just let it go at that.
Okay. Mr. Hall, I think we understand your argument. Thank you very much.